and security. That's what I want to stress right there, of income and security. But if we make anything or anyone our source other than God, when those things are shaken, and they will be, we will be shaken too. The scripture says this in Hebrews chapter number 12. In fact, before I read that verse, I just need to say, everything I just mentioned has its place. They're all legitimate institutions of God, but we just don't want to look to them as our primary source. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse number 25, Hebrews 12, 25 says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn from him who speaks from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth," is speaking of the time when he gave the Ten Commandments. And the scripture says that, "As he has promised, yet once more I shake not only earth but also heaven." Verse 27. "Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain." And then verse 28, "Therefore, since we, the people of God, are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." I'm so thankful today that with all of the institutions and the things that are being shaken, and I'll be honest, we have those emotions. We have sometimes the anxiety come up and the fear, and we're questioning, how are we going to do this? How are we going to make ends meet? Or I get it. I know, and we can relate. But then to come back and say, wait a minute, this is not my primary source. God is my source. He is my Father, and my Father cares about my physical needs. And I'm going to show you that in the scripture here, so just a moment. But this is what I want to emphasize today, of how can we make God our source. And I'll just give you a scripture. I'll read it to you. It's found in the book of Romans, chapter number 10, familiar for many of you. Romans chapter 10, then we'll hear what Jesus has to say in Matthew 6. But in Romans chapter 10, verse 8, says, "The word is near you. It is even in your heart, and it is in your mouth." And he says, "This is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord," he is your Lord, "and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is made right with God." So when we come to that place where God's Spirit convicts us, yes, I've sinned, I've done wrong, and I know that I'm not right with a holy God, but we also recognize and believe the truth of his word that says he loved us so much that he punished his own son, his own sinless son, with all of our sins, all of our wrongs. And Jesus suffered and died on the cross to pay for those sins. But he conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered the grave. He conquered Satan. And he is alive and he reigns again on high where his rightful place is. And we come to that place where we believe God's word and say yes to Jesus. I believe who you are. I believe what you did for me. And right now I confess you as my Lord. That means we follow him. He is our God. And we follow his word, we follow his example, then we are instantly forgiven. We are adopted into the family of God. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. God becomes my Father, and my Father is my source. That's the message I want to get across this morning. I hope you receive it. Just get it into your heart, get it into your spirit. And if you believe it, speak it out of your mouth. My Father is my source. My Father is my source. The word source means a point of origin. My Father is my point of origin of my salvation. My Father is my source of grace. My Father is my source of peace. My Father is my source of love. My Father is my source of comfort when I'm hurting. My Father is my source of wisdom when I need guidance. My Father is my source of healing. My Father is my source of victory, and he is my source of provision. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 6. He starts off this particular area or section of scripture as he's teaching the people, and he says that our treasure is linked to our heart. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then he says in verse 24, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or wealth, riches, material wealth. And it's possible, certainly, to be blessed financially and have God, but the Lord knows, as our Creator, how we're designed, and it's like our heart is a throne, and there's only room for one. And Jesus said it forces us to choose. We cannot serve. Someone said years ago, Dr. Edward Lewis Cole said, money makes a good servant, but a terrible master. God is my source. And so I cannot serve God and riches. I cannot serve God and money. And this word there, love and hate, it actually forces us to choose. We're going to love one more than the other. And then he talks about despise or to be loyal to. He says in that verse 24, be loyal to one. That also literally means to hold tightly, to hold firmly. And I can understand. We can, you know, money is something tangible. We can see it. I'm going to step in front of the pulpit just a little bit. And I know it's easy. It's easy, even as a Christian, to begin to, because we can't see God with our physical eyes as our Father, and God blesses us or we have a need, it's easy to begin to kind of set our affection on this and to hold it more tightly and more devoted and be more loyal to this than to the Lord, who is the one who provides the ability to even get this. And so is there a battle going on, and it's a lifelong battle. We're in a constant battle for the affection and the attention and allegiance of our heart. And whatever controls our heart will control us. And so we can hold on. I need money. Yes, we need money, but we need God more. Money can't meet every need. When a doctor comes in with certain reports, it might buy us luxuries, it might buy us comfort, but it can't always buy healing. It can't always buy peace. It can't always give us victory when we're struggling, but God can. And so my Father is my source. I can hold loosely to this, use it wisely, but I need Him. I need God, and He is my source. And so Jesus continues on here in the same chapter in verse number 25. Jesus speaking, he says, therefore, because no one can serve two, I say to you, do not worry. No, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Don't worry about your body, what you're going to wear. Isn't your life more than food? Isn't your body more than what you wear? I love this. He gives us object lessons. Today, if you want to go out for a little walk, it's a nice afternoon. Maybe if you're watching here and during the morning time frame, just go outside, look at a bird. Look at some birds. That's what Jesus told us to do here. He said, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap. They're not gathering into barns. Yet your Father, your heavenly Father, feeds them. God watches over His creation and He provides. He says, your Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than the birds? We're created in His image. If God feeds His creation, and He does, how much more will He provide food for His sons and daughters? And then He gives another example here in verse 28. He says, why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies. Think about the flowers starting to bloom now here in spring. How they grow. They're not toiling and spinning. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory as the king of Israel, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? I don't believe Jesus is getting on us here, but He's wanting us to know that we have a Father who is our source. We have a Heavenly Father. And if our God cares for and provides food and clothing for his creation, certainly he can feed and clothe his sons and daughters. We're more valuable than anything else in creation. And Jesus says here about the worry, and then he contrasts it with faith. I believe worry can be an indicator. Please just ask yourself this. Just examine your own heart. If we really let worry begin to win, and panic and anxiety and fear begin to take over our heart and take over our mind, it may indicate that we have exchanged our source for a resource. Now, my Father is my source, but he uses various and many resources. But if I begin to exchange the two, I'll open myself up to worry. It also may mean that I've exchanged stewardship for ownership. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But Jesus goes on here again, still in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying. Notice that. Worry will not only reveal itself in our emotions, worry and fear will reveal itself in our words. So our words can be an indicator of what we believe and what we think and what's going on in our heart, but our words can also fuel either fear or faith. That's why Jesus says, therefore, do not worry, saying, but what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? In verse 32, for after all these things, the Gentiles, that's really just a reference to unbelievers, has nothing to do with ethnicity. He says, unbelievers seek things, but your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. He knows you got to have something to eat. He knows you got to have clothes to wear. So what should we do, Jesus? Verse 33, but seek first. Notice that. Seek first. He says, unbelievers seek things. God says, seek him. Seek him first, the kingdom of God. That means his reign, that he governs, he rules, and seek his righteousness, be in a right relationship with him through his son. And then all of these things shall be added to you. See, when God is our source, we don't have to seek things. We can seek God and seek him first. And then the things will be supplied by the God who provides for us. My Father is my source. And I want to encourage you. I talked about our words. Claim God's promises. Because as you speak, get this truth into your heart. My Father is my source. I'm just giving you scripture, sharing the words of Jesus with you here. He says God cares for you. You're more valuable than anything else in creation, and he will provide for your needs. I don't know all the details of how things will work out, but God is our source. If you know him, please get it into your heart. Make that confession. Speak it over your bills. Our associate pastor here shows us by example. And sometimes I'll get some kind of unexpected bill come in or something come in. And I've heard him say before, God gives the increase. And I've caught myself doing that even at home. Maybe a bill comes, something breaks down. I say, Lord, I thank you. You give the increase. And just speak it because you believe it in your heart that it's a scriptural truth. And just confess that and build your faith. Oh, my goodness. If you watch the news 24 hours a day, you're not going to build your faith. Be informed. But, you know, we've had time. Some of us have had maybe extra time off here. Some of you have extra responsibilities. Welcome to homeschooling. God bless you with grace. But look back over the last week. Have you given God some time? Have you opened up his truth and just prayed and sought and worshiped him? Allow him to speak peace into your heart and to build up your faith. If you haven't, I'm not condemning you. I want to challenge you to do it, even starting today, and make it a practice. My Father is my source. I want to give two scriptural truths about God's provision, and then we'll conclude. Two scriptural truths about God's provision. And here's the first one. God owns, I manage. God owns, I manage. When it comes down to it, it all belongs to God. It all belongs to him. I want to read a scripture here. I love this scripture here from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And there is a dedication of the temple, the house of God. And the Bible says here in 1 Chronicles 29 verse 9, says the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. God is not after our money. He wants our heart. If God is not hurting, I'll state that for the record. And he's fine. We're the ones in need. And he wants us to give, not like somebody's got to pry it out of our fingers. He loves a cheerful giver. And he says the people rejoiced, they gave willingly. And verse 10 says, therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. And notice these words, please. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. It all belongs to God. Yours is the kingdom, O God. You are exalted as head over all. And notice, both riches and honor come from you. He is our source of income, ultimately. And you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. God can give us strength today. Thank God. Verse 13, now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. One translation pictures it like here's God's hand, and all we're doing is receiving something from his hand and giving it back to him. He owns all. But brothers and sisters, if we think we're the owners and it's up to God to manage, we'll probably get into worry and anxiety and fear when all of those things come upon us. God doesn't want us to live under that kind of stress. He owns, I manage. Now, I am to manage well everything that he entrusts to my care, as all of us are. Everything from our time and opportunities to money, we're to manage well to the glory of God, every penny, because Jesus taught that when he returns, we will give an account to him of what he has entrusted to us, of how well we manage. So pray and ask God for wisdom, maybe in budgeting and how to work your money out so that your needs can be met. God can give us wisdom in how to do those things. But then to seek him and to trust God and recognize and even confess it, my Father is my source. My Father is my source. And then one second truth I want to share along the line of provision is this, and it's found in the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is the chapter where the scripture says that God doesn't want us giving like grudgingly. He's given so freely to us. He wants us to have the same heart. He says God loves a cheerful giver. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6, the scripture says this, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And then verse 10, now may he, God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything. So there are, you know, it's possible to hoard and to try to hold on and be poor in our heart and spirit. And then there are some who freely give and give wisely and as the Lord leads and directs, and all they do is get richer on the inside, richer in spirit, richer in faith. He says, while you're enriched in everything, for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Here's the second. First truth, God owns, I manage. The second, God supplies seed to the sower. God supplies seed to the sower. I want to look at Philippians chapter 4, and then we'll begin to conclude here. Philippians chapter 4, if you want to turn, if you have your Bible, or thankfully that they're available, the words are on the screen for you. Philippians chapter 4. God has ways of directing resources to those who will use it to further his purpose, his kingdom, and his glory. And that's really what it's all about anyway. He wants to meet our need. He will meet them. But he wants to meet our needs so that we use our needs and the meeting of our needs to promote his will, to do what he would have us to do. In Philippians chapter 4, if you saw or maybe you listened to last week's message, we talked about the peace of God, having peace in perilous times. And we looked at this scripture here. And then he goes from speaking about how to experience the peace of God into being content. And we read these words in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 11. He says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and suffer need." And then the context of this familiar scripture, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He said, I've learned the basis for contentment. We're not born content, I don't think. It's something we have to learn, that we learn contentment. The scripture says, if we've got food and clothing, be content. Everything else is abundance. It's great blessing. Thank God for it. Use it wisely. One of the devotions I read in the mornings, I was sharing a testimony. I was just reading it this week. A lady in Pennsylvania had a friend who sends cards out. She sent a card, you know, not just for birthday or Christmas. She sent cards for every holiday. We've got some friends who do that to us. It's a blessing. We, you know, they'll send us a whatever, Thanksgiving Day card, Easter, whatever it is, whatever may be coming up. And this lady was sharing testimony of how her friend who would send her these cards lost everything in a house fire and all of her possessions of this earth in a matter of hours were gone. And she figured the cards would stop. And the next holiday to come along was St. Patrick's Day. And sure enough, this lady in Pennsylvania received a card from her friend with her same upbeat, cheery greeting as she had done for years. See, that lady had discovered that contentment is not based on our circumstances. True contentment is based on having Jesus. She knew that she had a source. And yeah, God can use different resources, and I'm sure none of us would like losing our earthly possessions, but we thank God that we didn't lose our soul, we didn't lose our life, and we didn't lose our Father, and He has means of providing for us, and she just displayed that confidence. I love this. And then he goes on in this verse 19, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. He says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, the promises of God, many of them are conditional. His love is unconditional. He loves all. People don't know him, everyone. But promises like this one, for example, of salvation. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. And here, the promise of provision, "My God shall supply all your need, not according to your ability, your bank account, your employer. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." And he has an undepletable source of riches because that's what he is, who he is. "My Father is my source." But that promise is based on the conditions that he states beforehand. And he says this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities." And notice what Paul says. He said, "I'm not after your money." He says, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound, and I'm full. I've received from this brother Epaphroditus the things you sent from me, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice that's well-pleasing to the Lord." See, the reason they could claim the promise of verse 19 is because they had met the condition of partnering with the Lord in the gospel ministry in those previous verses. I want to say something about these believers that he's writing about. You can read about it in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. The Bible says they were in a great trial of affliction. The Bible says they were in deep poverty. But though they were poor financially, they were rich in faith. They were rich in love. They were rich in generosity. Paul describes them as having just abundant generosity. And as a result, they were filled with joy because their heart was right. And here they are in poverty themselves, and they found out someone else had a need, and they got their resources together to do what they could, and they sent a blessing. And Paul told them, you know what? I know that's an expression of your love. It's an expression of your faith. And what you planted is like when you give to the Lord's work, and wherever it may be, when you give to the Lord's work and what he is doing, it's like you're planting, you're adding a deposit into your spiritual bank account. That's what he says here. It gathers fruit to your account, and it's going to pay off not only in time, but eternity. And the Bible says God is well pleased with our offerings when we just bring them with a right heart and come before the Lord. And then he says, and my God shall supply all your need. I thank God for all of for those who give, people who give here, and you know if you attend for any length of time, I don't really say a whole lot about the offering. We just have the plates here, and I tell people, if it's in your heart to give, just bring, but don't just put money in a plate. Get your heart. Give yourself first, and then give your finances as a testimony that my Father is my source, and to partner with God in what he is doing in the world today and for his kingdom for eternity. I was reading a testimony. One of the pastors we support, I won't go into name or anything right now, but he ministers to like a Muslim and Arab community, and he was sharing how they were able to meet a need of a lady who was a Muslim, and she lost everything in a house fire. And then there was another lady who is from Saudi Arabia. She's a mom, and she was very uncomfortable about receiving any kind of charity from these particular people because they were Christian. But one of her friends intervened, and she went to this ministry and asked for help. And when they finally met, the lady came, and there was an encounter there. This is what this brother writes. He said she appeared hostile, and she said to this brother, "Do you know that my husband is Muslim and I am Muslim?" And certainly, many of us have Muslim friends. We're not enemies. They're not our enemy. But certainly, there are some differences. And of course, some extreme elements would teach things that most of our friends certainly, or maybe none of our friends, would practice or promote. And this is what she said. "Do you know my God teaches me to hate you Christians and Jews?" And this brother responded, "Do you know that my God teaches me to love you?" And she left. They didn't think they'd see her again. She shows up 3 weeks later, and this is what she said. She said, "I've been hearing a voice calling me in the middle of the night three times." She heard this voice calling her in her, she said, "I was deep in sleep, and this voice told her, open the Bible and search for the word." Three times that happened. And she went to Google. Well, that's your call. If you want to do that, at least she did it, found something good. But she went to Google and searched Word, and she saw that the Bible in John chapter 1 mentioned it. So she got a Bible. She read John chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. And then she calls back to this brother, and they get together, and they have a meeting for 4 hours. And at the end of the meeting, he says that it really stood out to her that God considers us beloved children and not slaves. And overflowing with newfound joy, this lady received Jesus as her Savior, Lord, and they welcomed her into the family of God. And he found out later that this lady had a daughter who was listening in on the conversation, and she ended up coming a Christian too. I tell you, that's such a blessing to me. I thank God just for even allowing us to partner with these type of ministries, and certainly want to keep this sister and her family in prayer and other ministries. But I'll close with this. I want to close with a prayer in the book of Habakkuk, but just two accounts real quick. I was thinking about Elijah, and there was a great famine, and the source of income basically dried up. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. And Lord knows, I hope we don't go through this 3.5 months. but they were into it. And God told Elijah, I want you to go to this particular brook. And so he goes to the brook, and he at least has a source of water. And God commanded birds to bring food to him. That's what I'm saying. God is our source. He has many resources. And after a while, because of the drought, the brook dried up. Now what? God told him, he said, now I want you to go. There's a city here and there is a widow. And I want you to go and be with her. And I'm going to use you to be a blessing. I'm not just about meeting your need. I want you to bless somebody else. So she went, or Elijah went to this lady. She thought she was gathering sticks with her little bit of food she had left, that her and her sons were going to eat it. And that was it. They were dead. They were going to starve to death. And Elijah said, if you do this, God's going to make sure your supply doesn't run out. And like us, you know, my wife's income dried up. That brook dried up for a month. But you know what? God is not limited. He may supply another brook. And just to be open to him. One time in Luke chapter 5, I believe it was, the Bible says that Jesus was teaching and the disciples were in the boat, and Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. And Peter said, Lord, we fished all night and we've caught nothing. And he said, though, it is important, nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the nets or net. And the Bible says they started getting in such a catch of fish, they had to call their partners. It was a bigger blessing than they could hold for themselves. They called their partners because the boat was sinking. And they brought in so many fish. And the Bible says that Peter was even went to Jesus and he said, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I don't even deserve to be in your presence. And he said, you don't have to be afraid. I want to teach you how to fish for men and to bring people to me. But God is just showing us, if one brook dries up, he has multiple brooks. My Father is my source, and he uses various resources. And I want to invite the worship team to come back right now. I know that many, who knows, the Lord even knows how many businesses possibly have started, how many ministries, because one brook dried up, and they did something else, and God blessed them, and many more were met. They were blessed even financially for their needs. And this prayer I want to close with today, and then I want to pray specifically for you. In the book of Habakkuk, there was bad news coming. An army was going to invade and basically destroy the land. And when the prophet heard it, of course, he's human, he says, I trembled. I didn't even know. My lips were shaking. My knees were shaking. There was like rottenness in my bones. But then he caught himself and he said, hold on. I still have a Father. I still have a God who is my source. And he says this in Habakkuk 3:17, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, the fields yield no food, though the flocks may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls. He's saying, if I run out of money and I don't have a job, by faith, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like the feet of a deer. He will make me walk on the high hills. I remember when we started the church, I've been thinking about it this week. I left one ministry. I was working two part-time jobs, and I left to start the ministry here. We just sensed it was God's timing and God's direction. And my wife and I were in agreement. We had a little 5-year-old daughter. I believe she was 5 at the time. And I want to be wise, certainly have to provide. So I went to a part-time job. We lived in an apartment. We didn't have a whole lot of bills, but it still had utilities and so forth. And I just remember being at peace with saying, if I have to, I'm going to take the electric bill and phone and put these bills right here on our coffee table and just kneel down and just ask the Lord to meet the need. But, you know, God was faithful and he met and he's been faithful for all these 20 years. And I just want to encourage you today. Maybe that's something the Lord will give you direction. Here's the key. The key is getting the direction from God's word and his spirit. Brothers and sisters, God has unlimited resources. He can supply everything we need to do His will. That's the key. So let's be about His business and let's join together in faith. And Father, we come before You right now. I'd like to lift up everyone who has a financial need specifically right now. I'm asking that, Lord, we look to You as our source, and I pray that You would grant a peace that passes all understanding. I pray for creativity. I pray for wisdom. I pray for opportunities to see how we can maybe bless someone else, how to meet a need, and out of that, another brook open up that You provide, Lord. Maybe another direction. We just need to cast the net in a different spot. And I pray for financial, not only need, I pray for financial abundance to come upon Your people, that we would manage every penny wisely, we'd use it, recognize You're the owner, we're the manager, and we would partner with You in doing Your will. So Lord, I pray that You would give the increase. I pray for wisdom in budgeting, Lord, not to just overextend ourselves, but Lord, that we would use all of it, everything we have, everything we own, for Your glory and honor to extend Your kingdom. And Lord, we thank You for it. Now I pray for miracles to take place, provision to the glory of God. And Lord, I want to thank You for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have a closing.